Hello, and welcome to The Garden Club, where we explore the world and characters of Bloom and Blight a few questions at a time. My name is Kit, though you may know me better as Bloom's purveyor of sick flips, Daffodil. Today, I am joined by the voice of our very own Wolfsbane. Logan, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing all right, you know, all things considered.
Yeah, considering life.
I'm considering the things. They've been considered. But, you know, alas, we ball. All right. Well, let's not keep the good people waiting. We are just coming in off of the fight. TM. We've seen Lily square up. And she really did do that.
She sure did the damn thing.
She really did. But as the freshest member of Bloom, and not only that, somebody who used to fight for the other side. What was going through Wolfsbane's head during this whole showdown against essentially his old boss?
It's hard to say. Okay, so I think I've always planned Wolfsbane to be completely on instinct, like 24/7. He is not necessarily head empty all the time. He's just, why hesitate? You know? So sometimes he just does things, and in the case of like, why, what is his thoughts fighting his old boss, or in this case the person who created him, it kind of just became, I have flipped the switch, I shall now throw all my aggression instead of at the Team Bloom, I now put it at the thing that created me. It's just a natural fit. Like, I just move from point A to point B, and point B just looks suspiciously like the other side of the field, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just, you know, new target acquired. Doesn't matter what was in there previously. We've got new orders. It's a vibe I can respect. But I feel like it's quite different than how a lot of the team approaches fights in general. But, I mean, this big fight. I don't know. It's interesting to see his approach to this and to come into this so calmly, I think. Well, if Wolfsbane does anything calmly.
I think he does to a certain degree, because combat is his element. That's the big thing. Wolfsbane does everything on instinct. I said that earlier, but like, it's kind of like because of that and because he was built to fight, he always just feels awkward when he's not fighting. So like, I think one, he's really aggressive. He's physically like always going to look for the most drastic measure in combat. Like, I'm not going to say he'll go for the jugular, but like metaphorically he is every time. And
I mean, if it's there, right?
It's just so obviously a target. It's big and it's deadly. But the big thing that he also will kind of just do is like, everything he has ever learned or has been treated like before, because we really haven't like done a flashback of his life before. I'm kind of hoping at some point we see that, but we'll see what happens. But it's just like, I picture it, he was always just like, okay, this is your mission, this is what you're doing, this is, you know, get the heck out of the secret hidden base, wherever this might be. And he, because of that, it's like Wolfsbane gets to be awkward in the moments. Like we think of the scene where he was going about getting his garage, and he's just like, I don't know what to do with this space, and I guess we hug with Lily. Like, that's unfortunately for Wolfsbane, or fortunately for anyone else, that's just his personality, is like, I don't know what to do when I'm not fighting.
We love to see Wolfsbane starting to come out of this sort of, I don't want to say programming, but for lack of a better word, this, you know, fight mentality, and see him sort of get to do stuff other than punch things, which is, how has that been to sort of explore this mundane?
He still gets to punch things.
Oh, yeah. Natch. I mean, we got to duke it out a little bit. We love to see it. But exploring this sort of, you know, outside of battle side of Wolfsbane, how has that been to sort of pick at that? And I mean, we're really sort of seeing him build his like mundane personality in real time with this show.
Yeah.
So what's the approach to that? Do you have plans for that? Or is this, are you building it as Wolfsbane is building it?
I think a lot of it's as Wolfsbane is building it. I think back to like the Christmas special that we just that was just went on there, and like revealing he hasn't had pizza before, and like it's like everyone views it as a failure on their part for not getting Wolfsbane pizza, but it's also like kind of like a real thing where he's not a child. He's mentally matured past a child, but he hasn't had the moments that a lot of children have of, you know, messing up and or just experiencing new things. So like
he's a little sheltered boy. It's okay.
In a way, he was homeschooled, but if the homeschool was like a paramilitary group.
Yeah, yeah. He was home boot camped.
Yes, exactly. Like he was given rations and, you know, self-esteem issues, and he is now living with that.
Who among us?
Sorry, was that a little too deep? Was that a little too dark? I don't know.
No, this is a tragedy, folks. We came into this show knowing we were doing tragic magical girls. It's what it says on the tin.
It's true. It's very true.
So we're seeing, like you said, we're seeing Wolfsbane sort of building this Vic persona in real time. Is there anything in that that has surprised you? Any things about that character that have sort of jumped out that you weren't planning for him to be like?
Yeah, I think one big thing that I'd never really planned for Vic, because it was always going to be like, unfortunately for Vic, he suffers from a Batman where he doesn't think of himself as Victor. He thinks of himself as Wolfsbane. And there was just like, kind of like Taylor brought up questions like, where does Vic go? What does Vic do? And I'm like, well, I gave him a motorcycle because it's cool, but you can't just have a motorcycle. You got to drive it someplace.
Before you got to do stuff with it.
Yeah. So I put him in a motorcycle club, and like the scene where we actually go to the coyote, and like there is like, I'm enough of a regular that people know me, and it's just, it was interesting because I didn't really know how to instinctively play as that, like how to run into that scenario, but it really kind of went, oh, I'm just a guy that is slowly figuring out how to interact with everyone else, and it looks awkward and strange, but I'm not strange enough that people are throwing me out, or not throwing me out, but are like afraid of me. So I think it was just the development of a character where, hi, I am man on weird motorcycle that shoots fire, be my friend. And it worked out for him somehow.
We love to see it. Normal enough to stay, weird enough to be interested.
Also, he danced in that scene, which makes me realize Vic must have some dance moves. He's weird, but not too weird. And the fact that he danced in the bar is interesting to me because I didn't plan on him being a dancer of any kind, but it's like he must care enough or like understand dancing enough that it's something that he practiced.
Right.
Which, maybe this is something for like the future or whatever, but I'm wondering if some point, and like maybe we'll see Vic dance again. Ooh. I don't know. It's just a thing he might actually end up like doing.
Magical girl prom, get in the comments.
Oh my gosh, it's college. Is there a prom? There's at least like some formal dances, right? Or something.
There's got to be formals. I'm getting Taylor on the horn right now. But I'm glad you brought up that scene with Pandora where they are dancing at the bar, because that was a shock to see that sort of side of Vic, I think for all of us. But it also really gave a lot of insight into that relationship that he had with Lily, because I mean, it wasn't it like a Pushing Daisy song that came on, and that's when Vic like knew the dance moves and had that sort of confidence. So it was a really interesting character building moment for Vic, but it was also kind of a callback in a way.
Yeah. Effectively, it says that he listened to the same music that she likes so much, and he knew how to dance to it. So like he did something with Pandora, something that is very personal to him. And I mean, I guess if you're listening to this in order, there's not a spoiler at this point, right?
No, we've seen the bit.
They did the thing, they kissed. So at this point, you know that he has had some kind of emotional connection to Pandora beforehand, but you don't know how deep it is yet. So it's just like the dancing alone should be like, I guess it was such a big lead in to like, oh, this is something deeper than just I used to work with her, you know?
Right.
We weren't just water cooler buddies, at least.
Yeah, speaking of, I think the question on everybody's minds tonight, I mean, that Pandora moment outside of the building, on the side of the building, like, we've seen a little bit of Pandora, and we've sort of alluded to this sort of relationship that she's had with Wolfsbane, or that she's trying to have with Wolfsbane. Like, at what point was that put on the table, that relationship that you and Taylor have played out between these two? Was that scripted at all?
It's hard to say the whole, like, all the details, but I was thinking about this, because it was, like, in the moment, it was, like, a very emotional scene for me. Just, like, for, as a player, I have never romanced an NPC before, so it was just like, oh, I'm feeling all kinds of things right now. What did I just do? I just told a cybernetic fox girl that I love her, you know? Like, I'm living the dream, everyone else on the internet. Take that.
Right.
But where it started was actually, I would say, is realistically live while we were playing. Because...
Really?
Yeah. It, none of Pandora and Vic's relationship was ever set in stone. I will say, like, post that, I had basically decided to talk with Taylor afterwards and kind of like, oh, we should really solidify what all this means. But like, before the kiss and like the absolute, like, this is what's going to happen, I guess, like, it was all like natural flirting that built into, oh, this is a relationship that they really had and they're very close. Pandora was a surprise to me in a lot of ways, the way the relationship worked. In a lot of ways, I now know more about kind of what that relationship looks like and what I want it to look like for Vic.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to tell the viewers about that? I don't know how much you want to get into that.
I'm going to say this is going to be like a light spoiler, but only in the sense that like you can tell that their relationship will be a bigger deal. But like after that moment, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just like that their relationship was important before Vic turned over, like became a good guy. So we should expect. I want to make sure, like, at some point we focus on that. I really should just tell Taylor, let's have a Vic special episode of what was Vic like as a bad guy, and you guys show up as like cameos where I foil your plans or something.
Right. But, we need like the Bloom origins, right?
Yes. Oh.
I would love to see that. Like the day everybody joined the team or history or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, get in the comments.
Absolutely. Get in the comments.
So, I mean, on top of Vic's own relationship to Blight that we've already established, you know, was extant in the past, this specific relationship to Pandora, it is baffling to me that it was spur of the moment, because it really does, it complicates and builds on the way that, you know, Vic is approaching Blight, but also on the way that the team and the audience then has to approach Blight as a concept, because it's a lot more messy than just these are the bad guys.
Yeah, and there's also just this. This is gonna be my kudos to Taylor. Mm-hmm. See, at one point we just need to have Taylor show up in all these. That's what we should do, is have Taylor show up and just have her giggle like a gremlin behind everything.
Insert the Taylor giggle in the background.
Exactly. Because this was like her improving against me. We were working as improv partners in this sense, where one character puts out some energy and the other character, you know, decides what to do with that. So yeah, we built it, but Pandora, like, can I tell a secret about Pandora that like happened in episode one?
Please.
So while we're recording episode one, literally just like, what is it, episode one or episode? Well, okay. The episode she appeared in, I can't, it's all blurring together, but the first episode she was in, Taylor was messaging me in Discord going like, hey, you know, this person, give me a name. Pandora didn't have a name until like maybe 5 minutes before she existed, and I got to name her.
Truly improv character of all time. Is there a reason behind the Pandora name?
If I'm being honest, I don't know 100%, except maybe I was replaying the Mega Man ZX games and there's a character in there named Pandora.
It's a good name.
So it's a fantastic name. Oh, there's so much meaning in that name, too. So we'll see honestly, how that turns out.
And that's part of why it is so unbelievable how spontaneous this character and that relationship is. Because, like, every time, like, y'all had these interactions with Pandora and Wolfsbane, and, like you said, the meaning in the name Pandora, I was like, this is genius. These guys are really cooking. This is awesome. And then to figure out that it was all spur of the moment, like, that is beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, man, playing tabletop RPGs is fun, but like one of the best thing is being able to sit with your friends and be like a weird, like just being a weirdo making up stories, and sometimes you find out that you're really good at making up stories.
Yeah, sometimes we're good at this, and sometimes your friends are good at this, and then you get to be good at this together. And I think that's beautiful. Let's see. I think that's all I've got, unless you have anything else that you would like to chat about.
Well, I mean, all I could say is thank you for listening, everyone. It's been fantastic, the responses we've got. I love Wolfsbane. He is my baby. I look every once in a while, I look at the character art and I go like, oh yeah, that's really fucking cool. And that's partially because of us, but it's also because of all of y'all. So thank you so much.
So true. The response to the show has been amazing. The response to these characters. And that's partially you, you know? You've brought an excellent lad to the table. So thank you folks at home, and thank you for Wolfsbane.
I brought an angry lad. That's what I did.
You did. Unfortunately, I think that's about all the time we've got for today. But of course, before we go, as always, we have to ask, what, in a few words, can we expect from Wolfsbane for the rest of this season? No spoilers, just vibes.
Just vibes. It's going to be it's going to be kind of a lot of the same, but also awkward flirting.
Excellent. Incredible. This has, as always, been an absolute delight to chat with you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, Logan. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Bloom and Blight. Our cast includes Taylor as the director, Candace as Belladonna, Logan as Wolfsbane, Kit as Daffodil, and Anna as Larkspur. Cast details can be found in the show description. All production is handled by Anna and Kit, with sounds and music courtesy Epidemic Sounds. Girl by Moonlight is a Forged in the Dark system from Evil Hat Productions. To stay up to date with all things Bloom and Blight, be sure to give us a follow on social media at Bloom and Blight. And check out bloomandblight.com for a link to our community Discord server, transcripts, and more. Nominations are now open for the 2024 Crit Awards. If you like what you hear, vote for us and your other favorite shows and creators at critawards.org. Bloom and Blight is a Dareful Archives production. See you next time.